Hey, everybody, let's talk about game time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need to all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen, and use code LISTEN at checkout.
Play ball!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Freddie Freeman, simply unstoppable!
The Rich Eisen Show.
In order to win a World Series game, you have to score a run.
That is gone! It's a grand slam!
Gone!
It's Labor Day.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Fox Sports college football analyst, Bruce Feldman. Coming up, actor and comedian, Kevin Pollak. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. One of our favorite guests in the 10-year history of this program. Is about to join us in about 20 minutes' time. Kevin Pollak, good friend of mine for some time. KP is going to be back here in our show studio in short order. He's in the film Goodrich, which is the film that Mila Kunis came in recently to promote. The one in which she stars along with Michael Keaton. And Kevin will be joining us in studio. Wow. And it'll be a lot of fun. It's his birthday.
Hey,
we appreciate people spending their birthday with us.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So he's one of our favorites. You know, also another favorite of ours, although this person's only been on the show once. Mm. Oh, she just, oh, no way.
Oh.
It was Barbara in Ocala, the Buffalo Bills fan.
Oh, no, I saw that she was on.
I saw she was on. I was definitely going to take her call.
All right, Barbara, if you're listening, call back.
Call back.
I was going to take her call.
I didn't drop her.
In the meantime, we started the show talking about the sport I rediscovered last night. Yeah, honestly, I'm like, wait a minute, what sport is this? Yeah, I think I used to follow this sport. Oh, yeah, it's baseball. Yankees win game four, and it was a sight for sore Yankee fan eyes. Actual hits with runners on base. Anthony Volpe with the big grand salami to put the Yankees up for the first time since Freddie Freeman's grand slam. By the way, Freddie Freeman's grand slam, three home runs ago for Freddie Freeman. Homer in the first inning.
Crazy.
Again, for the second straight night. Unbelievable. And so it was a comeback that Yankee fans have been waiting to see, and an 11-run onslaught that Yankee fans had been dying to see. And two particularly Yankee fans missed it because they did something remarkably stupid.
Idiots.
Honestly, I see fans saying they're being fans. They're just trying to help the Yankees win by yanking the baseball out of Mookie Betts' glove. I mean, the dude who's trying to take the ball out of a closed glove of Mookie Betts just looks ridiculous trying to do it. Rip the ball out. And then the other Yankee fan who's got like shades on at night, this is the one that I have the biggest problem with. He is hands on Mookie Betts, touching an actual Major League Baseball player.
Make
and I've never seen anything like
no.
it.
It's fan in, it's fan interference normally. Like, let's put it this way. Compare it to the other fan interference that Gleyber Torres hit into in this World Series.
Yeah, right.
That was a Dodger fan leaning over and catching the baseball.
Right.
And by the way, excellent call by the umpires. That was not a home run. It wasn't going to be a home run. Trust me, I was hoping it would be.
Yeah, it was like a foot below the ball.
No doubt. No doubt. The only thing that that fan prevented was to see how it would carom off the wall. Could Torres gotten a third if it was a bad hop off the padding, which is so rare? This one, though, this one was, you're not reaching into the field of play. You're grabbing the glove of the player who's now in your field of vision, trying to pry open the glove to yank the baseball out
That's
of it.
Crazy.
And even worse, the other guy is interfering with the with Mookie's arm, like he's touching him. And you, I read all these stories about who these guys are, and you know, and unfortunately, they get 5 minutes of fame. And there'll be some shows that are going to try and have them on and interview them as real fans. And what I think they did was real dangerous. And I am somebody who is, I think, I have a track record. In the 10 years I've done this show and 27 that I've been on national television in some way, shape, or form, knock on wood, that I've got a sense of humor about things. I didn't find this funny at all. And I read the stories that the fans told media members that actually found them, that they were told that they could come back the next night, tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees just put out a statement 15 minutes ago saying that's not happening. I'll read the statement. Last night, two fans were ejected from Yankee Stadium for egregious and unacceptable physical contact with Dodgers outfielder Mookie Betts. The safety and security of players, fans, and stadium staff is the foundational element of every event held at Yankee Stadium, and it cannot be compromised. Tonight marks the final home game of the year, and we want every ounce of our fans' passion on display. Yankee Stadium is known for its energy and intensity. However, the exuberance of supporting one's team can never cross the line into intentionally putting players at physical risk. The Yankees and Major League Baseball maintain a zero tolerance policy toward the type of behavior displayed last night. These fans will not be permitted to attend tonight's game in any capacity. End quote. That is a pitch perfect, letter perfect statement from the New York Yankees. And, you know, you could sit here and go, how do they put Mookie Betts at risk? How do you know that Mookie didn't have like a, his right wrist wasn't already, you know, like sprained, banged up, he's playing through something? And also, listen, if you stand next to Mookie Betts, one of the most impressive things about when you meet Mookie Betts and stand next to Mookie Betts is he does not look physically imposing like his play does. He doesn't kind of look like maybe one of the greatest athletes in American team sports, which, by the way,
He is.
He doesn't have, he's not huge in physical stature. Take a look at the replays. He's kind of like dangling.
Yeah.
At one point, he's trying to like bounce up and down to maintain contact with the ground because that's a very high wall. As a fan is grabbing his arm. It's like, what the hell?
I can't believe that happened.
I mean, what are they doing?
So one of the guys, Austin, I don't know if you heard, you saw this. Rob Gronkowski, of course, was with Kay Adams today. He knows the guy. He tweeted out, Austin was a college friend, very passionate about the team he represents.
I'm sure he is. They're season ticket holders.
Wild boy. He'll, you know, maniac status since college has been confirmed. Gronk knows the guy. Of course he does.
Well, I don't know if Gronk is saying he condones that sort of behavior.
No, he's just saying that I know the guy and that he's been a maniac kind of his whole life.
Well, anyway, I just closed the door on this sort of thing because...
Well, I'm glad they're banned tonight.
You know.
Yeah, Mike, can we buy their tickets?
Can we buy their tickets?
Well, by the way, how about that in any capacity? What are they going to do? Sing the national anthem?
Throw out the first pitch.
What are we going to do?
With Matsui tonight?
In any capacity. Like, what else? What other capacity were they going to?
And they sell hot dogs.
Yeah, I mean, play ball.
Come here, ice cocoa. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Sell hot dogs in the stands.
I don't know.
Peanuts.
Hold Ashanti.
Get your peanuts.
Hold Ashanti's beer as she sings again. Hopefully she's back. Because I'll tell you what, we should run it all back from last night.
I mean, yeah.
By the way, one thing you shouldn't run back is when you compare the two opens from LA to New York.
I know.
We get Ice Cube tried with Fat Joe. And Fat Joe is great.
Yeah, it's a yeah.
But it was not the same as what Cube went out there and just, like I said, the walk and rap.
It was great.
TJ, Cube ended game two before it started. At least in my mind.
He did.
Well, you saw the swing, right?
Honestly,
yeah.
I mean, he came out, he did his thing. I turned to Cooper. I'm like, this is not good. So, and I will tell that to O'Shea Jr. when I see him after the show in advance of you and he doing NCW.
Well, I'm a little upset with him right now anyway. Already, we're 4 upset and I'm mad at him.
He
told Del Tufo that what his dad was doing.
Yeah, I knew.
In secret. He told me.
You knew?
Mike knew.
Yes. And I also knew.
Mike didn't say anything. I was wondering what they were chirping about
the
rehearsal.
Because I got to watch the rehearsal.
No, this guy.
What was funny was when he said it, TJ, you had just walked away.
TJ.
And he goes, I can't, don't tell anyone, but my dad's performing. And I was like, yeah.
By the way, two things. O'Shea's Junior's new around here.
Don't tell Del Tufo anything.
Don't ever tell Del Tufo. Don't ever Del Tufo. Don't ever tell Mike something with the preface of "Don't tell anyone."
He didn't know.
That's number one.
He didn't say anything until the next day. He said something.
And number two, I mean, I guess doing 4 pods of a hit podcast together is not enough. You're still not on a need to know basis.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess not. Thought we was cool like that.
Yeah, but today, thank God we won last night because I'm going to take a lot of crap.
Speaking of podcasts, let's get to this. Susie and Amy on What the Football had Mike Pereira on because, you know, after the Rams-Vikings ended with replay assist being unable to assist because no flag was thrown on a clear face mask in the end zone on the Rams, allowing the Rams to essentially end the game because it was a safety instead of it being a first and 10, a fresh set of downs right around the, what would it have been, the 25-yard line or right around the 20-yard line? It would have been the 20-yard line. Mm-hmm. There's still a long way to go for Minnesota, but yeah, the game would have ended that way.
Wouldn't have been over.
So definitely wanted to get Mike Pereira on and ask about replay assist. And he had an interesting take on how replay assist is not being, it's not replay additive. Hit it.
How do you balance what the fans want and the emotional reaction to these calls?
I mean, the fact is that this game's so hard to officiate, you know, we're all looking at it in slow motion when in fact, those 7 guys on the field and ladies on the field are doing it in real time. And it's never going to be perfect. Replay's has done some good things. Yes. Okay. It's gotten more plays right. Okay. I buy that. You know what it's done to me though, in my mind, it's made the officiating worse. I mean, and that's a terrible thing for me to say. I mean, because those are all my brothers are out there, but it's become too much of a crutch for them. I mean, back in my day when I was on the field, albeit it was short, you had to make your own decisions. I mean, when you threw the flag for pass interference, you had to get that damn flag to the spot of the pass interference. You know, now the guy throws a flag and Big Brother comes on and fouls at the 32-yard line. Okay, you go put the thing at the flag at the 32-yard line. It's just for the psyche of officials, I don't think it's really made them better. And maybe we shouldn't worry about that, I guess, if the fact that there's more calls that end up correctly being made through technology. But I'm not really overly a fan of replay and what it's done to the game and to officiating, but it's here and it ain't going backwards. It's only going to go forward and it's only going to get bigger. And so we just have to accept that fact.
How about that? Makes it officiating less efficient. The officials I speak to say they like replay assist because they help them get stuff right. I didn't know replay assist is getting in the officials' ears and saying the fouls at this yard line put the flag there. I didn't know that. So the replay assist is in their ears quite a bit.
Yeah, they can communicate back and forth.
No, I know they can. You see that. Yeah, it makes things faster.
So why can't they say, yo, that was a face mask. Drop a flag.
Because they don't want to put a flag on the field. And I say they should.
That's it.
I say they should. I say let's come up with a certain set of penalties where you can do that. And the thing is, the NFL doesn't want to get involved, and neither does the competition committee and the coaches and decision makers who are on it. They don't want to get involved in anything that's interpretive. They want it to be clear and obvious. They want it to be as simple as, was there a foot in bounds? Wow. Was a knee down? Was anything that is clear and obvious that can be looked at and brought to bear? And my thought is face mask has got to be one of those.
Yeah, face mask has to be.
Face mask has to be obvious. Yeah. Whether and you could take a look and see, was it in the breastplate or was it just a shoulder turn or was it inside the damn helmet? Yep. Don't you think that's clear and obvious? Don't you think?
Again, if we can see it at home, then...
No, but the pass interference you can see at home. You're not going to get involved in that.
But when you slow motion pass interference is different than game speed, whether it actually makes a difference.
Intent
or not.
Is never going to be, you know.
A face mask is very obvious. Real.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But intent, there's intent involved in pass interference.
Yeah.
There is intent involved in targeting. And they don't want to do that through replay assist. They want the human element to do it in real time. And I'm saying, let's make the face mask a replay assistable penalty. And the Rams said that and got rejected. The problem is they include blows to the head and anything to do with roughing the passer in that same bucket. And I think that's why that got rejected by the competition committee, is because anything to do with roughing the passer, now suddenly it's an intent. Like, did he intend to have his full body weight on him? Did he not? And you didn't call it in real time. So we're now going to come in after the play's over, big time play, 60 yards down the field, and then all of a sudden we're stopping. Why? There's no flag on the field. We're not lighting up the yellow rectangle on the broadcast. Why are we stopping play? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I'm holding my hand in my ear. Now that's the symbol that fans are seeing going, OS. Really, they're going to do this? Mm-hmm. And then we're going to open up the play again, and then we're going to review it, and then all of a sudden it's going to be somebody's interpretation upstairs that didn't have the same interpretation as the referees did in real time, and you as a fan will be really right pissed. And I don't blame the competition committee for not wanting that. I don't blame them. But I always will push back to Mike, you know, whenever he hasn't been a fan of replay for a while. And I've always said to him, like, dude, there should be more of it.
And he loves it during UFL. When he's with me on UFL,
I'm sure, because
he loves it, Rich.
I'm sure he loves it because it replays everything. And I don't know. But he thinks this replay assist makes these officials less too dependent.
Yeah.
And not teeing up and letting it fly and letting trust in their eyes and their instincts. I don't know. I just think there's not enough of it right now. We'll take a break. One of our faves is here, and it's his birthday. Kevin Pollak is here on The Rich Eisen Show when we come back.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding.
See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Good Rich is in theaters right now, and we're back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio, one big happy family, with our Roku Sports Channel feed. Good Rich again in theaters now, starring in part none other than Kevin Pollak back here on the program. And you just mentioned how you had known Michael Keaton for quite some time.
Socially, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he was dating a friend maybe three or more decades ago, 90s for sure.
Damn, so you go way back.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'd see him every now and again, and we'd talk every now and again. But and then when we worked together on this movie, by the way, my favorite part was he and I sitting on the set between setups, mm-hmm. and him just wanting to talk about stand-up comedy of the late 70s, mid to late 70s, which is when we both started.
Did you ever work together there in
no,
a comedy?
No, he was a Comedy Store guy. And then by the time I got to L.A., I think he was done with it. But we did talk about the... I started in San Francisco with Dana Carvey and some other great folks, and he started at the Comedy Store in L.A.
Yeah, you know, who was he performing with? Like, who are the Letterman, guys that you're talking about?
Yeah, Letterman and Tim Thomerson.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, God, how many decades ago. But just those early days of... and the idea of him and Letterman in a sketch show, the Mary Tyler Moore sketch comedy.
He was part of the troupe as well?
Letterman lasted one episode and then walked. Saw himself doing a sketch and said, yeah, I'm not doing
that. That's not me.
I'm not doing this.
And so Michael Keaton was still part
of
that.
He stayed in there. He stayed in the pocket. Yeah. But, you know, for a lot of stand-up comedians who then saw Michael Keaton in Night Shift,
yep.
It was like, oh, that is a thing we could do.
Mm-hmm. Then Robin Williams started showing the same thing as well,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Or Paul Reiser and Diner was another
okay, that's
sort
right.
of peek into what a stand-up comedian could do if they had their sights on acting. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the first movie you did?
Well, I just remembered actually that how I annoyed Paul Reiser when he first came to San Francisco. I've got to share this quickly because
go ahead.
I was living in San Francisco at the time. He had done Diner, so he was an immediate hero. And back then, you know, I called the owner of the comedy club and said, can you, you know, tell me what hotel he's staying at? And they would tell you. And then when you call the hotel, they would ring his room when you asked for him by name.
Yeah.
Imagine such a time. And so I knew he liked Peter Falk. So I called his hotel room. He answered the phone. And he said, yes, hello. And I said, Paul, it's Peter Falk. How are you, sir? It's great to see you. I was driving down the street with the wife there, and we see your name on the marquee. We're going to come to the show this weekend. And he immediately goes, oh, Mr. Falk, I can't believe you're calling me. This is the greatest thing. I had no idea that you even knew I was a person. This is great. And but by the way, so 30 seconds in, I'm like, I can't break. He's
committed to the bit,
he's
sir.
He's loving talking to Peter Falk so much, I don't want to break his heart. So now I'm... 5 minutes we talked. He's having the greatest conversation with Peter Falk you can imagine. Mr. Falk, I can't believe, you know, when I saw you in this, Cassavetes' early pictures, and you really inspired pictures. Such greatness. And so we hang up. I hang up as Peter Falk.
Should we come to the first show or the second show Saturday?
And now I'm in my apartment. I'm thinking, I got to call him back. This is so stupid. Yeah. I mean, I called to meet Paul Reiser, and I did not accomplish that. So I called back, and then when he answered, hey, chicken, I'll start doing Peter Falk again.
Listen, Paul, I forgot to mention.
And then I said that this is actually a local comedian. My name is Kevin Pollak. And then the longest pause on the phone from his side ever. And then he finally said, you are not a nice person. Can I be honest? That was a horrible thing to do. What is the matter with you? And then he started laughing. And,
oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And then, so that's how you got
so
to
that's
meet.
How we ultimately became friends.
Oh, my
God. In fact, someone sent me a clip where Michael Keaton told the story where I once called him, also as Peter Falk. I think it was on Conan or something. So that's what made me think of them. I used to call people a lot as other people.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but
so I once called The Tonight Show when I first got to L.A. as Peter Falk. Because Johnny had Peter on all the time. Loved him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, 3-4 times a year. And so I called, you know, you would just call the NBC front desk.
Mm-hmm.
John Q. Public could make this call. Hi, this is Peter Falk. Could you put me through to Johnny, please? And they do. And they do.
Come on. Hold on a second.
So then, but I just got his executive secretary.
Okay, right.
Who'd been with him a long time. But the impression was so good that she couldn't say, wait a second. She said, I'll tell you what, Peter. When is a good time I'll have Peter call you back? Johnny call you back.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't about to put me through.
Okay, so
yeah.
You couldn't fool Johnny but Carson's executive assistant.
But I did talk to Carson's executive assistant. But then when I finally got on The Tonight Show and did the Peter Falk for Johnny, I mean, I orchestrated my first appearance in such a way that, because, you know, I was such a fan of the show that I dreamt since I'm 10 years old watching The Tonight Show of standing there and doing the... But by the time I met the gatekeeper, Jim McCauley was his name, whose job it was to book comedians on the show. And he would circle you for a couple of weeks because you had to have two appearances. Because if you did great, Johnny would say, bring him back right away. So he would circle till he knew you had 2 6-minute appearances in your stand-up.
Right.
So one night I pass him at the improv and I, hey, Jim, how you doing? Good. I said, who are you here to see tonight? He said, well, the guy I was here to see, I just saw the list canceled, but I went down the list, saw your name, so I'm going to watch you tonight. I think you might be ready to do the show.
Oh, boy.
I've been waiting my whole life for this moment.
I bet.
And I say to him things I had never thought or said out loud or into a mirror. I just said, well, Jim, I've been waiting my whole life for this moment, and I've been a fan of the show since I'm 10, and I know, you know, I think I would have a greater impact from the couch than doing my stand-up. I do Peter Falk and the voices right with Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know there's a protocol, and you're not bringing me to the couch. But I'm willing, I think, to wait till I have a TV show or a movie.
Jeez. Wow.
And then you can justify bringing me to the couch, but then I'll still just open with Peter Falk. And Jim looked at me like I had just landed, not in an airplane,
yeah,
and said, do you have a TV show or a movie coming out? Anytime soon. Now, what I didn't tell him was I didn't even have an agent. That's how far I was from having a TV show or a movie.
Yeah.
So I said, no, but listen, I may call you back in an hour and beg for this. But I just think, he said, I can't disagree. Yes, you will kill from the couch. And no, I'm not going to put you on the couch. But if you want to wait, you're only going to get better. That's fine for me.
Yeah.
We'll see how long you can wait.
Right.
Took a little over a year. I had Willow. The Ron Howard picture, where they could justify bringing me to the couch. But I orchestrated this whole thing, and I'm standing behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Doc and the band's playing down after commercial, and Johnny says, folks, my next guest is an actor. He's got a new movie coming out called Willow, Ron Howard picture. We'll talk about that. And apparently he's also a comedian. Please welcome Kevin Pollak. Now, I had rehearsed coming through that curtain also 1,000 times. I knew not to wave at Doc and the band. You're not cool yet. Not in the first time. That's the second time, if there is one. Go get to the couch. I get to the couch. I sit down, and Johnny says, now, Kevin, welcome. We'll talk about Willow in just a second. Somebody told me that you do impersonations. Is that right? And without missing a beat, I said, Johnny, that's a bold-faced lie. I don't know who told you that, but they were lying. And he's laughing so hard, he pushes himself away from the desk, clutching his chest as he would do. And I was a made man in that moment. He had me back on 2-3 times a year until he retired. And I promise you, it's because I knew he loved Peter Falk.
Mm.
That's it. It took me 25 years to realize that doing an impression is a parlor trick. If I can think of someone you like and I can recreate them in front of you, I'll steal the affection you have for the actual person.
Kevin, there's no doubt about it. I mean, when you came on before and told Jack Nicholson stories and nailed, obviously, You got your Jack going. I mean, that is, that just is, it's only additive and it's only more.
It's a bizarre thing.
It is pretty cool like that. And then we had Mila Kunis on and you said, ask her about, doing a Michael Keaton impersonation. And then she goes, you should have Kevin on because he does it better.
Yeah, I watched her.
And I said, well, interesting enough, he is coming on. Now here you are.
Yeah.
So.
Well, my better half, Jamie, who I brought along because it is technically my birthday.
Technically, it's happy birthday. We're going to get to that shortly.
Thank you both. well, not all of them. Applauded. But yeah, so she pointed out that Keaton sort of has this thing that he does in every movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit of a back and to the right. That's the basic. And I thought Mila was playing his daughter. And what kid doesn't mock their parent at some point by their gestures or things they say?
Happened to me yesterday with one of my children. But it's
something very personal.
Well, no,
that he knows.
No, it's more like a 13-year-old going, oh, okay, Dad. One of those things. Like, so it wasn't very nuanced. He's still young.
Well,
he'll learn.
Yes, please. They're at an age. If he was nuanced at 13, you should send him immediately to genius school. But yeah, so I don't know if I have to stand. Can maybe just lean forward?
Sure. Yeah.
In everything he does, it's this. First of all, there's the lip purse thing happening. Yeah, it's a little better standing.
That's it. No, you got it.
Okay.
You got it. You said it looks just like him.
Yeah.
That's it. So it's not really more of a verbal.
Yeah, there's no.
That is it.
Feed mayonnaise to the tuna. Yeah. On the set, we would talk about stand-up comedy, but also. Yeah. Jamie's from Pittsburgh, and he's from Pittsburgh. So
when
I introduced them, he just wanted to talk about he was
Steelers.
A good-humored truck driver, and their name in streets and neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, the Steelers, which, of course, having a great season. He really is incredibly proud to be from Pittsburgh and having started as a stand-up comedian.
Kevin Pollak here on The Rich Eisen Show. Good Rich is the film that we're talking about. Michael Keaton and Mila Kunis, Andy McDowell, and so much more. It's in theaters right now. So it is your birthday. I'm very pleased that you're here on your birthday, Kevin Pollak. So.
Of course. There's pumpkin carving gathering over the weekend took place. That was great. We did a Halloween walk in certain neighborhoods that a few friends put together to see all the decks, the Halloween decos out in the yard. We'll give out candy to the kids. Tomorrow, of course, my birthday being the day before Halloween, so every year growing up, it was a Halloween-themed birthday, so it's my favorite holiday. But I will answer the door as Christopher Walken. Listen, the idea is to scare... to scare the kids, no? They should earn that candy. Where are the tricks? It's always treats, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're supposed to be a trick.
That's correct.
Of some kind.
So that's your trick?
Well, if they can stay there while I'm scaring them and not run off, they get a treat.
How does that go?
Well, I'll open the door and I'll say, hey! Trick or treat? That's a damn good question. Quite the conundrum, little dudes. As it turns out, I too have a question. Which one of you little freaks can guess what I've buried under the house? Hey, kids, where you running? I got Reese's Pieces in here. And cigarettes.
Come back.
Yeah.
Oh,
so they can hang in there with their buckets and their
pillowcases.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, by the way, we have we got you some birthday cupcakes for you.
I mean, if you're gonna tell people it's your birthday ahead of time,
we got it.
It's very thoughtful of you. Thank you.
Wait, I just spilled one of them.
All right, that one's for TJ. Who apparently is well connected with Mila Kunis
very
as well.
Much so.
Yeah, I love listening and trying to follow that.
Very much so.
And I'm also from Pittsburgh too, Kevin.
What?
Yeah.
He is indeed.
Yeah. What's with the love of Dallas? Well, you've already explained it, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, multiple times. They don't get it, Kevin. They don't get it.
Yeah, so, yes.
Well, it's great. And again,
it's a great birthday, and it's a strange thing to have the theming with the Halloween. Mm. The weirdest part about my birthday, though, growing up, is that I share it with my father.
Oh.
Same birthday as my
dad. Are you serious?
Wow.
And this is always the response. People think it's the coolest thing ever. Turns out, no.
not cool for you or him.
Stinks. No, your birthday's supposed to be your day.
Yeah, your day.
And I'm going to share it with Dad. Oh, sure, some years we celebrated how I wanted to, but most years, you know.
Not so much.
We just ended up at the track. Where he would say something fatherly like, remember, Kev, if horse number 5 comes in, you can get that tricycle you've been bitching about. And I'd be standing on the sideline. Come on, number 5.
Oh, my gosh. At the track.
At the track.
Yeah, no, but we did have the same birthday.
That's fantastic.
Which was,
oh, my God.
Mostly great.
So, you told so many great stories here from your filmography.
Yeah,
over
I was
the
trying to think
here.
If there was a birthday tie into a few good men and Nicholson, and Jamie reminded me because we're trying to go through the dates.
Mm-hmm.
But it was we shot December, January, February, and she remembered that because she knew my Super Bowl with them story. So it was a big. There were a lot of social hangouts while shooting A Few Good Men. There was Vegas trip. There was, you know, first of all, until you've valet parked your car on a tarmac, I don't think you've lived. But that was, as it was explained to me, we're going to fly in Tom's jet. Rob Reiner, the director, explained this to me. Did you hear about Vegas night? I don't know what you're talking about. I just got here. We're going to valet park our cars in the tarmac, get on a Tom's jet, fly to Vegas, gamble for a couple hours, have a big Chinese meal, go back and gamble some more, and then fly home. We're not even spending the night. But there was also, hey, have you heard about the Super Bowl party at Bruce and Demi's? Okay, what?
What?
Now, the big takeaway from all that, it was the year Washington won.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see, because Bruce Willis was shooting Death Becomes Her with Goldie Hawn and Meryl Streep on the soundstage next to ours at Culver Studios while we were shooting A Few Good Men.
Uh-huh.
So he was always loitering on our soundstage because his wife is there, of course. And the PAs from Death Becomes Her knew to come over to our set when they couldn't find Bruce. So there we are at Bruce and Demi's house. And again, I show up at these things. I expect someone to throw me a red vest, ask me to help park cars. I mean, this is me brought up to the majors for real.
Right.
Yes, I'd already died in Denzel's arms, every young Jewish boy's dreams, in Ricochet. But, you know, the Few Good Men was the thing, you know.
Right.
So the Super Bowl party, the greatest moment by far was, because everyone's intensely watching the game, as they should be, and Meryl Streep yelling at the TV screen, stick him! Again, until you see that happen, Meryl Streep yelling stick him at the television.
For the Super Bowl.
During the Super Bowl.
Who should you recall who Meryl Streep was rooting for? Or?
A middle linebacker of the Washington's in 1990. Well,
they were playing Buffalo, right?
Washington, Buffalo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it 91, 92? I guess it would be 90.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Buffalo string of make going and then not winning.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the Thurman Thomas helmet game, right? You forgot his helmet?
That might have been one of the Dallas games. I don't remember.
Maybe that's why Meryl was yelling, because she wanted to hit the guy without the helmet.
So, Meryl, who the hell was at this Super Bowl party?
Well, again, the people who were working on A Few Good Men and Death Becomes Her, they were all,
My gosh.
You know, I'm of kid in a candy store. I don't feel like I'm hobnobbing with these people. I don't. Sure. To this day, it's still.
So did you,
beyond
were you at a craps table with Tom Cruise or something?
When with Vegas night. Yeah. So, no, you do remind me of a good story.
Okay.
So we are in a little private gambling area because when we walked through the casino, it was like a wave of heads turning.
Yes.
So they put us in a private little gambling salon, and there was, you know, some blackjack tables, one craps table. So I'm playing blackjack, and I get up to go to the restroom, and I walk by, and just Bruce is playing craps. And he's got, I don't know, 107 bets on the table. It's a ridiculous number.
Solo rolling the dice.
Just him.
Just Bruce Willis.
So he sees me walking by and hands me the dice and says, throw the bones. And I look down, and I look up at the pit boss and say, how much has he got on the table? And the guy went, 102,000. And I said, yeah, I'm not throwing these. Are you out of your mind? I'm not. He said, throw him. I said, no. Not going to be responsible for
seven out.
Yeah, exactly. So he said, what do I care? Throw him.
What do I care?
And we argued, and I eventually threw the bones.
And?
Thankfully, I don't think he made more than a couple of dollars, but he didn't lose, and then I ran to the bathroom. Yeah. I didn't crap out, so I went to crap out.
You didn't crap out?
Yeah. Because I had to go pretty bad after this. I mean, I've never been so nervous, I don't think, in my life. I mean, you know, it's all relative. You have to bet something to feel something, whatever that is. Yeah. I remember once I was in one of those gambling spots, and Tiger Woods had just won whatever the latest big PGA tournament was, and he was playing three hands of blackjack, 15 grand a hand, and I thought, okay, you have to feel something. No matter what level you're at,
yes. You
have to bet a number
sure. That
when you lose, the sphincter tightens just a tiny bit, whatever it is. And for him that day, it was 45K a.
Okay. While we're just on the subject here, can you? This is one of my favorite stories you've told, and it's been a while.
Oh,
so just tell. Speaking of gambling, Walter Matthau, what can you please tell?
Well,
that story of what you can tell from your grumpy old men experience with Walter Matthau.
It was the first time I met him, so I played his son in the movie, and of course the geniusly titled sequel, Grumpier.
Yes,
old men. Like Think Tank from Mensa came up with that for us. Thank God, because we were stumped. But the way it worked out, I was hired after. And so when I showed up, they were shooting. And in between setups, and the director just walked me over to him and said, Walter, this is Kevin Pollak. He's playing your son. And I don't think he said anything. And then the director said, I got to go check some lights, and walked away. And I'm standing there with Mount Rushmore to me, him and Jack Lemmon both, you have to understand.
Of course.
As a character actor, these guys are character actors who became movie stars of the biggest, highest level. Absolute Mount Rushmore fella. So I foolishly decide to make small talk in that situation. I said, so, Walter, script's pretty good, huh? And he said, "Scrape sucks, kid. I owe my bookie $2 million." And it turns out he wasn't exaggerating.
$2 million.
At his memorial service, there was a little booklet of some kind, and on the back were his picks for that Sunday before he passed.
Oh my God! On the back of his memorial.
Yeah. Booklet. He told me the greatest gambling stories. Him and Fred Astaire would bet on the ponies every weekend. For 25 years, every weekend they would go to a racetrack and bet on the ponies.
Walter Matthau and Fred Astaire.
And he said his greatest regret, I could never get him to swear. When their horse didn't come in, he couldn't get Fred Astaire to swear ever. He tried so hard to get him to use any curse word. He couldn't ever. And then one day, I got an envelope, a vanilla envelope. I went down, opened it up, and it's a cassette tape. I put it in, I pushed the button. And it's Fred Astaire calling a race as the announcer. And at the name of every horse was the most disgusting curse words you've ever heard that I cannot repeat, one of them. But he calls the entire race, and so is coming up on the outside. And every horse's name is absolutely just more disgusting than the last. I mean, disgusting. So I said, where's this tape? It's in a vault. His whole life, he just put it in the vault. No one's ever going to hear this. I said, I've got to. He said, no, not a chance, kid. But imagine this.
No, that's the greatest.
Just it goes down the edge of the drive, and there's a manila envelope, and he opens it up, and it pops in the tape.
Fred Astaire.
Calling a race.
Working blue.
Yeah, working blue. The most blue. Made him so happy. Yeah, and then the funny thing got me with Jack Lemmon was once I was doing off-camera lines, with the cameras over my shoulder onto him, and he said, you sure you don't mind doing the off-camera lines, kid? I said, no, of course. He said, well, yeah, I know Marilyn hated doing them. He's talking about Marilyn Monroe. It's like every story they had were the biggest stars.
Right, from some Like It Hot, I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. You want to hang out to the
end? Please, where the hell am I going? Okay. We haven't even talked about my Niners yet.
Well, let's do that. We'll come right back. Kevin Pollak right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Hey, everybody, let's talk about Game Time Tickets. If you haven't noticed,
Basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need the all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody, with Kevin Pollak. I'm not worried about your Niners, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. No, I'm not. You know, when you're decimated one, you know, section of the team after another, week by week by week by week, you can only play so well. So, yeah, it'd be nice to have our full roster back at some point.
It's going to happen. I think mostly it's going to happen. Obviously, I didn't see McCaffrey having Achilles tendonitis in both legs. Didn't see that one coming.
Did you see, by the way, the video of him working out before the season started, that crazy running thing?
Yeah. He looked great.
Yeah. Maybe less of that, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Before you start playing?
I mean, I'm not an Achilles tendonitis expert.
No.
Nor are you, but I think...
But it's the most bizarre,
the general axiom of, like, not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But Fred Warner was down at one point.
He's so good, man. Yeah. That guy is so freaking good.
And one of the best safeties. He's down. It's just week after week. It's just very, very painful. But as someone pointed out, at this point last year, we were only 5-3 instead of 4-4, which is one game difference, and we went to the Super Bowl.
That's correct. Right. And the division is completely wide open.
Yeah.
And you're on a bye, and you come back from a bye.
I watched the Monday Overreaction Monday. I follow the show.
Okay, very good.
Oh, yeah. No, it was discussed how the division, I believe you said, was the toughest.
Yeah.
And you pushed back, which you should.
Thank Everybody's
you.
Even. But how is that love, not tough?
I did love the Thank reasons you. For this idea, that any one of them arguably could...
Don't come on here and feed the animals, Kevin. Not feed the animals. Yeah. But I appreciate support. That.
But it is, I can't, sometimes I like Overreaction Tuesday a little bit better.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Pollak here on the Rich Eisen Show. By the way, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. In the few minutes we have left here, I just love when you come on and tell all these stories, dude. People love it too when you come on here.
My pleasure.
You must have about a million more of them. Still in your quiver, you know what I mean?
Yeah, many of which I'll save for the next time I'm on the show.
Not a problem. Anytime. I already miss Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, thanks, man.
I tell you that every time.
Yeah.
One of the most beautiful. By the way, I will argue this, best final season of a TV show that doesn't disappoint and leaves you wanting more.
Even the final episode I felt was shockingly good, and not that I'm biased, but thank you. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, they as they say, stuck the landing in a very sort of remarkable way.
And it's so difficult to end shows like that.
Impossible.
And in a way that's satisfying to the diehards.
Yes.
It's great.
Yeah, and
super.
To turn 60 and then get that show and be a part of this worldwide phenomenon. We did a lot of international press for the show.
Uh-huh.
And one time we were in Milan, and it dawned on me that Mussolini in that famous speech is kind of doing De Niro.
He is.
And I thought I would share that when they come down the line in the press and they ask me a question, and I asked Caroline Aaron if I thought she thought I should do that. She said, yeah, sure, and I did it, and silence. Crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets.
I don't know if they were expecting any Mussolini humor. He does look like that a little
bit. But you know my favorite part of doing Casino was Don Rickles. I mean, that when he went after De Niro in a scene. Is that the way you're going to do it? Like that? No, no, you got the awards. I'm sure you know what you're doing. Go ahead. And De Niro, he loved it.
Of course.
Pesci, not so much. When Nurkos pointed out that he was so short, he's going to ride around the set like a Shetland pony.
He didn't say that to Joe Pesci.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. No, no, I get this guy over here.
Yeah. No,
he called Joe Pesci a Shetland pony.
Well, he was going to ride him around the set like a Shetland pony. Yeah. But then, by the way, we're stuck in Vegas 20 weeks. I know we got to wrap up. Sorry. We're stuck in Vegas 20 weeks shooting that movie. I'm in the movie 9 minutes, but Marty might change his mind any given day, so you have to be there. So I call my stand-up agent and say, book me opening up for somebody on the Strip. This is ridiculous. I'm stuck in this hotel. So he got me at the Desert and opening up for the Four Tops, and I'm so happy.
Whoa.
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
And so one morning I go into the makeup truck on Casino, and Rickles is in there, and he says, hey, kid, saw your name on the marquee. That's a great gig. Yeah, that's going to be fun for you. I'm with Frank all summer. Let me know if you need tickets. Let me know if you need tickets.
It's going to be great for you.
Let me know if you need tickets. God bless.
Please tell me you said yes. You'll go to see him with Frank.
I did.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
The Desert Inn, which famously has heart.
Yes, it does. Three times. The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart.
The greatest Albert Brooks scene, maybe.
Is
of
me?
All
am Albert. I crazy? No. Listen, my wife and I, we made a mistake, and there's all the other smugs who came here to see Wayne Newton.
What's the matter? I like Maine Newton.
That's right. Gary Marshall. Fantastic. Yeah. Everybody, please go see Goodrich in theaters now. Happy birthday, Kevin.
Thank
Pollack.
You very much.
Hey. Great to see you. Gentlemen. Fantastic.
Great to see you, pal.
So much fun. Back to wrap it on the Roku Sports Channel in a sec.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Baby S is giving me money-making moves in the
world.
Oh,
yeah.
So I'm going to have one kid who's like, I want to just live in a box and do, like, artistic dancing and paint. Ocean's going to be like, it doesn't matter if I'm broke, Mom. I'm passionate about it. And Baby S is going to be the one that says, passion doesn't pay bills, Ocean.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala, wherever you listen.